And it's flaccid.
Thanks for letting us know, Mitsugi. I'm glad that we can talk about your genitals. Episode 25 of Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast. You guys just heard the opening song from Katana Gatari, which is Maya Kadenro by Minami Kuribayashi. Well, you know us all. But,
Everybody's here tonight.
Yeah, we're all here.
For the first time.
Aw, tear-filled and everything. Mm. So,
That's pretty funny.
So, say hi to Mitsugi.
Hey, you guys. How you guys doing?
And Himiko.
Hi again.
Chiaki.
I love stuffing. What, I do love stuffing. It's delicious.
Yes, it is.
And I'm Hatake.
Welcome back.
The abandoner.
No.
Rebel.
No. You just had to go over to another world for a while.
Yeah, you know, the time jumping, and I had to train myself, and I tune in exams, you know?
Yeah,
they
take
up hard stuff. I wasn't taking the exams, I was hosting them.
Oh, jerk.
So, how can you find us?
You can, well...
As if you don't know already.
Like you don't know already. If you've made it this far, you know. But I'll remind you again, because I'm just that nice. Okay? You can find us on aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, and Mevio.com. Alright, we've got some new forum members. The Wolf 18, XCOM 923, and Anime Shaft Chris. Shaft. Sorry, I didn't mean to make your name all terrible. Oh, the maturity.
We almost got through. Almost. For that.
We have some new affiliates.
The people over at addnetwork.net have adopted us, and you can find our podcast on their website. And also.
And it's actually a pretty cool website.
Yeah,
take
it's a
me
cool
home
website.
And love me.
And there's about a half dozen or so other really cool podcasts on that website also, so make sure to check those out. And also, we're going to be on nerdnexus.com soon, so you guys should check that out as well.
Hooray!
Yeah, nerdnexus.com has a lot of radio shows and things like that, so definitely check it out.
Yeah, and the guy that runs it's really nice, so check his stuff out. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's been very good to us.
Glad to be a part of it soon.
Alright, it's time to announce this week's trivia winner. And it is Grim Reaper Hay!
But we also have an overall trivia winner for the month.
That we do. Little Birdie told me that it is Hat and Clogs.
Hat and Clogs, you won.
Congrats.
What does he win, Johnny?
My name's not Johnny, but I'll answer that anyway. He wins a plush from the Studio Ghibli Museum in a lovely Studio Ghibli Museum bag, as shown here.
But you can't see it, so...
Yeah, true.
But we think it looks cool.
Yeah, we do.
Because we can
We're
see it.
We're cuddling with it right now.
We're kissing
without
it.
Without our clothes on.
Yep.
Yeah.
What?
We do naked podcast now. No, that's just the hentai.
Miyazaki blessed it himself.
It's only the hentai episodes? Nobody told me that.
Okay, so what are we talking about tonight?
So our main topic today is another drum roll. epic fails in anime.
Epic fails.
And we are going to do some impressions. We're going to be talking about Katanagatari and Durarara.
Woot!
Yay.
And then we're going to end with...
And then we're going to end with some awesome reviews.
They better be awesome.
They will be awesome.
So, how many of us have watched an anime and said, epic fail?
Ooh, me!
You can't just say epic fail. You want to have to want to kill yourself
epic
afterwards.
Epic
fail. So... Yeah, that's happened.
We have quite a list here of some very bad anime you should never watch. Actually,
not just bad, atrocious.
Some of this
Let
anime...
me just say there's a difference between bad and, like, obscene.
Well, there's a difference between bad and so bad that it makes you never want to watch anime again.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I think maybe it's okay, and it can be kind of good if you watch them for a laugh.
Some of them are even so bad that that's not possible.
Really? Like, it'd be catatonic afterwards.
Bit.
Or
right.
just kills
bit.
Your soul.
I want to kick things
what
off.
Soul?
I don't have
we
one
have
anymore.
Souls?
Yeah, right.
We lost them to anime.
Yeah, we did. Alright, so.
Convinced. Sold them to the anime devils.
I'm going to kick things off with an anime that sucks very badly.
Woot.
And I give credit to this review to the people on animeacademy.com, which is a very good website.
We love you.
The people on there know what they're talking about. And this is a very inspiring review that they wrote about MD Geist, or Most Dangerous Geist.
Ooh.
So,
you know it's gonna be badass.
Basically, when we first meet Geist, he's walking around killing things for no reason at all. He just likes to kill things.
He needs a reason.
And, despite the fact that he's just killing everybody, this little girl decides she wants to follow him. Because he apparently saved her during battle, but he's like, he's so dangerous that he can't acknowledge her or be aware that she exists, even though she's following him around everywhere.
Otherwise, he'd have to kill her.
But in the course of killing people, he also turns on the Death Force. Which is a doomsday device that releases machines to destroy the populace.
Geist, use the Death Force.
May the Death Force be with you.
And that's the end of the first episode.
Death Force, oh, whoa.
That's all in the first episode.
Yeah. So the second episode.
Why do you even need to watch more? That was so perfect.
Yeah, if you're moving on to OVA 2 after that, something's wrong with you. So it's pretty bad so far, but it gets worse. The populace of the planet should be completely screwed. But for some reason, it's very convenient, but there's a second most dangerous Geist. Somewhere else on the planet, who has a mobile fortress named...
Trailer?
Last time I checked, that wasn't a fortress.
He rented it from HAL.
He has a massive fortress that in which all of humanity can hide.
What the world?
And basically what happens is, well, Geist...
Let's talk about a deus ex machina.
Well, the bad Geist can't have this happening, of course. So basically, he storms the fortress, and spoiler alert, they fight. Everybody in the fortress dies, and the anime ends.
That's wow. Last time I saw something this unappealing, I remember flushing.
Not only did this anime get a 20% out of 100 on Anime Academy, it is their lowest review, but it also is the fourth worst out of 3,300 animes on AnimeNewsNetwork.com.
Oh my god. As it should be.
Because it sucks. Its average rating was a 3. Which is pretty bad. You can't have two most dangerous.
It's wrong, man.
One has to be most dangerous-er.
Sounds like my conversation.
Who's the most dangerous, man?
Okay, alright.
Okay.
I have two more on this list, but I want one of you guys to just take one, because I figure I should sprinkle my things throughout, so I'm not talking for 10 straight minutes.
Well, I would like to talk about one. It's a second season. That's fail.
Oh my god.
The anime I'm talking about is Orphan. And the first season of this anime will not blow your mind, but it's an okay anime.
It's pretty okay.
It's an average anime. You know, I don't know if I've done a review
Orphan's
on it.
Cute,
but
I would say it is slightly above average. So just
slightly
a hair above average.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, it's not going to change your life, but you're not going to regret spending time on it either, probably. So anyways, first season, pretty good. I find out there's a second season. And I'm like, oh my god, there's a second season.
How excited were you?
I was pretty excited, actually, because I was little and I loved Orphan. I was an Orphan fangirl. And then I realized that they took all my child hopes and dreams and stomped on it.
And shit on them.
They I was going to say bent them over, but that's the hentai episode.
Yeah, they took everything which I loved about this series and said, screw you. In the first... Okay, first off, the voice acting is terrible.
Oh, no.
Oof,
it is the worst...
No. I need to look up the cast.
It is the worst voice acting I have heard ever. I mean that, ever. It was atrocious.
This is why I'm looking at the cast right now, so I could laugh at them.
And then, beyond that, the first episode... You know what's going to be bad? When the first episode, you have the main character... And a main female character who never hit it off in season one, but had that kind of, like, innocent romance going on. That unattainable innocent romance. And then they start off the second season, and they're, like, naked in bed together. Unexplained. They're just like, how'd you get in bed with me? I'm like, I don't know. So.
Suck it.
It's just bad. It's obscenely bad. There's no story. There's nothing going on. They're just cashing in on the success of the first series.
Suck
and
it.
It was fail. It was...
It's epic fail.
It was epic fail. I really should... I feel like I might have burnt the DVDs, but at the same time I might have kept them. just to show people what they want to watch out for. I really... If not, I should YouTube it, because you guys should experience the atrocity.
I think I need to experience the atrocity.
Okay, so that is my at least first commentary on Epic Fail. That's like personal to me.
May I take over Dragon Ball Evolution?
Oh my god.
Please do.
Okay. Because I'm not gonna lie. I said this last, you know, podcast, that I am a huge Dragon Ball fan. I watched Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, most of Dragon Ball GT, but then, you know, I went to college and things changed. My roommate has everything, all of Dragon Ball Z on DVD, and we watch it from time to time, and it's the greatest. So, we actually went to the midnight screening of Dragon Ball Evolution.
I'm so sorry.
Were you there?
No.
I was there.
You were there?
Yes.
At the midnight screening?
With a very large group of people, yes.
Yes, we went with like 7-8 people to this screening, and it... My soul died a little that day. Night. Early morning.
Your heart didn't grow 3 sizes that day?
It did not. In fact, it may have shrunk a little. I may be a lot meaner now because of that movie.
Cell got hold of it.
Yes. Read no, actually, it was Piccolo who looked like a fish because he did.
Let me ask you, what upset you the most about that movie?
The fact that
it was made.
That too. There were a couple of little things. Piccolo looked like a fish. That Goku wasn't Asian. That one pissed me off.
You know what? I actually liked Goku. That was the only thing that I had.
There were moments where Goku was okay, but really, it was awkward.
Did Yamcha even have a scar?
No. No, and Yamcha looked like an awkward surfer dude and acted like an awkward surfer dude.
See, and Yamcha was one of my favorites, so I was kind of personally offended by that.
As you should be. Because
did we just
that
say
was
they didn't even have
it was
Krillin?
Degrading.
No!
They didn't even have Krillin.
What kind of
you're
a Dragon
right.
Ball movie is
you
there without
right.
Krillin?
I mean,
yeah, he's like basically... He comes,
Krillin's pretty useless, but he's like Goku's best friend.
He's
not useless
ever.
In Dragon Ball. He comes in on Dragon Ball in like episode 4 and holds his own for a while.
All Sunny Street.
Aww.
Krillin is my favorite character.
I liked Krillin a lot.
And I may have cried internally.
Oh, Piccolo's my favorite.
Oh, Piccolo's my roommate's favorite, and she actually, like, ranted for about an hour and a half on the drive back home about Piccolo being...
Well, it took that long.
Well, should he, shouldn't Piccolo be a green?
Not awkward yellow. It was degrading, and it was just an awful movie. The plot was all over the place.
You know what it was? Like, I watched that movie, and I thought, did you guys see, it was like The Monkey King, wasn't it?
The Monkey King.
Is it called Hero? Not Hero.
You know what movie I'm talking about? It had Jackie Chan in it.
Jackie Chan and Jet Li have the gratuitous fight scene.
Oh, that's Forbidden Kingdom.
Forbidden Kingdom?
Jackie Chan, Jet Li, and the random kid from Sky High.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Forbidden Kingdom. The Monkey King. Jet Li plays the Monkey King.
Yes, okay, that's what it is. But, like, seriously, the Dragon Ball Evolution movie, to me, was, like, a rehashing of that story with, like, Dragon Ball characters.
Well, you know, the Dragon Ball does have elements of the Monkey King in it.
I know, but what I'm saying
is... That was the inspiration for Goku.
But, like, the entire... When you just made a movie like that, to remake another movie that's almost identical when you don't have to because you have enough of the series to work with, it's unnecessary. Right.
Unnecessary and depressing.
I thought Goku needed to get his priorities straight in that movie.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
I mean, Goku, first of all, Goku would never be interested in girls, ever. He doesn't even like Chi-Chi and they have two kids, okay?
Yeah, yeah, I really don't know
how Goku would never spend the first third of that movie trying to impress some girl, even if it was...
He was too intelligent.
Even if it was that hot Asian chick. She was very hot.
Yeah, she was pretty accurate for Dragon Ball version of Chi-Chi, not gonna lie, but it was still
She's
very...
She's way hotter than Chi-Chi.
Well, yeah, but I mean, her like, her quote-unquote badassness that totally disappears all through Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah.
Any closing comments on Dragon Ball Evolution? We know it sucked.
It sucked.
Yeah,
the end.
I was sad because I was totally in love with Goku as a child. I wanted to marry him.
Yeah. I just worry that in the future, anime, like, it sets up a dangerous precedent, I think, for anime movies, for directors to just kind of cherry pick what they want to take and what they want to use.
Cowboy Bebop movie. Keanu Reeves.
The Akira movie will be a complete disaster.
But the Cowboy Bebop movie, I don't know. I've seen a couple of stills and a couple
of
things.
Or Ghost in the Shell movie.
I don't know. Ghost in the Shell movie?
Ghost in the Shell is a lot more adaptable. But something you guys might...
It's hit or miss, man.
...might cringe at. Dragon Ball Evolution, believe it or not, actually grossed 10 times what it took to make it.
Oh, no. Are they making a sequel?
And they greenlit it. They greenlit the sequel, like, 2 years...
As in,
like,
they're going to be making a live-action Vegeta?
Yeah, I know.
They tried to sum up all of Dragon Ball in, like, one movie, so God knows what they're going to do with this one.
I'm terrified, and yet I feel somewhat excited in my pants.
I had a weird dream about Vegeta. I was never a Vegeta fangirl, but
I
had a weird dream about
Vegeta.
Vegeta a couple weeks ago.
I love Vegeta.
I was like, why did I just... Ew.
Anyway, so...
Yeah.
So epic fail once again.
Yes.
Continue.
I'm going to move on to another one. Ninja Resurrection. I give credit to Anime Academy for the humor in their review. It's got a 26% on their website.
Oh god, this one.
Yeah, you know, it starts out with, like, a historical background of, you know, the setting. It's feudal Japan or whatever. You got Junpei, which is the most cliche samurai character name ever. and then the action starts. And, you know... You get a ninja rocket launcher and a sex scene between a dismembered person and a woman who's under the influence of a spell, and then it gets worse.
Because he doesn't like with dismembered people.
How can this get worse?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because in contrast to the dark, disturbing atmosphere that is the first episode, the second episode starts out, like, cute and cuddly, like Care Bears.
Awkward.
Junpei is, like, living peacefully in a village, and then later they come for him, and there's a rape scene with a woman who is killed during the act, and followed by a scene in which an undead ninja decides he wants to whip people with his innards.
So, kids, if you want to introduce your parents to anime,
make sure you're watching this one. They come in the broom.
Can I just say that I think it is an epic fail for anime in general when they put in really serious topics just to be edgy? Like, I'm not saying that, like, putting in something like rape, I don't want to say it can be fantastic, but it can be very good for storytelling, emotion, setting a scene, like, now and then, here and there.
Yeah.
That is a perfect example of an appropriate use. But, like, if you're just like, then she gets raped, and then he gets raped.
And then somebody gets hit with innards.
It's not a hentai.
I mean, I'm sure you guys know that there's a rape scene in Ninja Scroll, too.
Yeah.
These, like, ninja samurai animes that are dark seem like they always have to have some kind of a rape scene.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They get thrown around to be, like, really serious or have, like, really hardcore content.
I remember when that happened in Naruto. Naruto. Believe it.
Interestingly enough...
Believe it.
I'm so scarred.
Okay.
Jackie, please never do that again. I might just vomit on you, projectile, across the table.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Believe it.
Ninja Resurrection also is, according to Anime News Network, it is the ninth worst anime ever out of 3,300.
You mean there were eight that were worse than
there
that?
There are eight that are worse. The top 10 worst, according to Anime News Network, are Super Milk Chan Show, Rain the Conqueror, which I'm going to talk about in a minute briefly, Ninja Resurrection, Hametsu no Mars, Duel Masters, Tekken the Motion Picture, which I've also seen, that is terrible, Dice, Most Dangerous Geist, Psychic Wars,
and Wait For It,
and Wait For It, SD Gundam Force,
the worst
anime of all time.
That's depressing.
And might I say that most of these animes are differentiated by like a couple hundredths of a point. SD Gundam Force is almost half a point worse than all the rest of them.
Oh my god.
It sets a new standard for being the worst anime of all time.
Yeah, and look how many votes there are for it.
Based on 422 votes, too, so it's pretty good average.
And Monsters definitely deserves being on there.
Only 184 people voted for Most Dangerous Geist, but 422 people thought SD Gundam was so obscene that they had to go and talk about how fail it was.
Only the most passionate talk about failage.
Okay, alright. I'm really sorry. I just want to take a minute.
Ponage.
I just want to take a minute and read the plot summary of Most Dangerous Geist 2, because I never watched it. After unleashing the Death Force machines all over the planet Jara, Geist has kept himself busy by dismantling them one by one. But now he faces a formidable opponent in the form of Krauser. Another most dangerous Geist.
No, that's a most dangerous soldier.
Another most dangerous soldier who has aligned himself as the only savior of mankind.
Okay, Solid Snake.
It kind of looks like a mech in the picture.
Oh my god.
It sounds like a badass, when the
hell does anime work the same way as movies? What? Like, as in you need to get enough, like, positive feedback in order to make a second? Or do they just go, why the hell not?
It's possible that they made them both at once, maybe, and released them as sequels. Because there were only two episodes apiece.
Oh.
Well, thank God.
You can actually find Most Dangerous...
And that was because the animators and writing staff all mysteriously killed themselves upon completion.
You can actually find Most Dangerous Geist on YouTube, and...
Why would you want to?
Well, see, it's a mecha anime, to some extent. And so a lot
of people... So is SD Gundam Force.
Okay, so, let's see. I'm sorry, mecha fans in our forums, but it appears that four out of the worst five animes... in the world, are mecha.
According to
of
Anime News Network, at
according
least.
To Anime News Network, yes.
Send your complaints there.
Anyway, so that's it for Ninja Resurrection.
That's it for Most Dangerous Guys.
Okay, so Rain the Conqueror, just briefly. This was on TV for a while. Picture Alexander the Great, who was already bisexual.
Oh, no.
Actually, okay, I'm sorry. I just gotta read this. Prince Alexander, son of King Philip, and heir to the Macedonian Empire, must fend off political saboteurs, assassins, and the jealousy of his own father to ascend to the position of king with his junk. Once there, he begins his quest to conquer all nations and become known as the Great King, though an ancient prophecy foretells that he will be the destroyer of the world and forever remembered as the Devil King,
as
he prances around in his thong panties with his banana hammock swinging.
It's kind of like Bruno meets anime.
Oh dear god. It looks like it.
It's fine. When you said banana hammock, I automatically assumed
Bruno. I thought of Borat.
Yeah, Borat.
Oh wait, that's who I
failed.
I was thinking of Borat.
I was thinking of Bruno.
Rain the Conqueror was on
Borat in his awkward bathing suit.
Rain the Conqueror was on, I think, Cartoon Network for a while.
Yeah, it was.
How long ago was that?
That was like a decade ago, but
yeah,
it was
that was
still
before
there.
Good anime existed in America. Legally.
In America.
Actually, Rain the Conqueror is actually newer than Cowboy Bebop. As a side note. Anyway.
Well, that just means it's even more of an epic fail.
All right, epic fail. Okay.
That's all, folks.
So what's next, Hatake?
I'm sure that you guys have gotten through a really... Well, not a really good, but, like, a decently good series, and then comes the ending, and then you just go, FML.
I'm scared of endings of animes, because they suck.
Yep. I know, especially if it's, like, a 13-episode series, and you get to, like, the 12th episode, and nothing's happened, and you're like, wait, how are they gonna but you can't answer, I don't understand. And then you get to the 13th episode, and they try to.
Yeah.
They answer everything that they possibly can, or they, like, don't answer anything at all, and either way, we're screwed.
Well, it's like they were just kind of going along, doing things, and then they were like, oh yeah, there's a story we have to tell.
What's the plot again, guys?
They funnel 10 episodes of information into your head in the span of 15 minutes, and then your head explodes.
And then you have to clean the gore off the TV. Yeah. It's just
with your headlessness.
So
we're not talking about Dudarara right now.
What are a couple examples of animes that have absolutely horrible endings?
Oh, Trinity Blood. Okay, thanks, bye.
Can you elaborate? As someone who hasn't seen Trinity Blood, I'd love to.
Trinity Blood was an epic series in the sense it was brilliantly animated, it was decently dubbed, it had a great story going for it, but like I said, it gets to the 12th episode and hasn't answered anything. You don't know what the whole deal with Abel and Cain are, and you don't know what's going on with Sister Esther, and then the 13th episode comes out, and it's like, by the way, Sister Esther is a queen, and Abel is like an angel of death thing, and it's just, they try to throw out so many random answers, most of which are so out of this world that you just have no idea where they must have come from, and it just... It screws with your mind and makes you never want to see that series again.
All right, note to self. That series sucks.
Yes, it does. Sadly, it does.
What is this anime we have written on here called Spiral? I don't know what that is either.
Who are the Bleed Children? Oh, God.
No, really.
We're asking you.
Who are they?
If you can answer us on the forums, do let us know.
Yes, please.
Spiral is a series about this kid who, what's his name? Oh, yeah, Ayumu, Little Narumi, I think is what they call him often. And he's, like, a little Sherlock Holmes. Like, he's some sort of brilliant detective dude. Yep, it asks more questions than it answers. Most certainly asks more questions than it answers. Basically, he ends up kind of becoming a part of this whole situation, trying to figure out who these specific characters are called the Blade Children.
Right.
And the entire series is about trying to figure out who the Blade Children are. And you don't find out who the Blade Children are.
What are they, like, have not, like, they kill people, or they just have,
no.
Like, blades come out
no,
of their
No, they're
arms,
just,
or?
Like, we don't even know why they're called the Blade Children.
They just are?
They just are.
Well, are they, do you get to see them?
They're not even all children. Some of them are, like, random adults. You get to see them, and you get to know who's involved in this whole, like, situation. But you have no idea why they are who they are. You know.
The closing line of this says that the biggest mystery of Spiral is the story itself.
Exactly.
Classic.
I mean, even some of the voice actors in the commentary have, like Greg Aries, have actually asked, like, really, we honestly have no idea who the Blade Children are. All of those logos that ask you, we are asking you. I mean,
just asks them.
It just asks all the questions that it possibly can and then leaves you hanging. And one of the random characters had a Texan accent, it was weird.
Must have been from Osaka. All right.
Don't insult Osaka. The
next anime on our list of animes with bad endings is probably the most... Maybe the anime more than any other that is known for its ending.
Recognized.
And that is Berserk. Berserk, spoilers coming, but this anime is old. It's definitely a classic despite its ending, so... Berserk is an anime that is, like, it's an epic anime that kind of sets the standard for anime at the time it came out. It did something anime had never done before, a very fresh feel to it. However, the problem is that Berserk has a very long manga.
Hmm.
A manga that is much longer than the 26-episode series. So rather than just, like, somehow wrapping up an arc or something tastefully like they do with Hajime no Ippo, and ending the anime someplace where it should be left off, they decided to end it at the worst possible place.
Like what?
Have any of you seen Berserk?
Mm-mm.
Thankfully, no.
Well, you've got all these soldiers known as the Band of the Hawk, and they're all led by Griffith, who's having a very tough time in his life at the time that this happens. But basically, out of nowhere, a bunch of demon monsters come out of the earth and start ripping apart the Band of the Hawk soldiers.
Huh.
This is a huge spoiler, but I'm sorry, this anime is not new. And it's worth watching even if you know that this happens.
Because the ending sucks, so it doesn't matter anyway.
The first episode of the anime is actually the last episode, because it shows Guts afterwards, after this happens. You don't realize that until it's over. But basically, they could have left it off, like, you know, at a nice, at the end of a nice story arc. Instead, they decided to end it with just, what the hell, demon monsters coming out of nowhere. And just, and what it could be one of the most violent scenes of any anime. Everyone is wiped out, except for Guts, and ripped apart, eaten. They're all eaten, because they're huge demons.
They're eaten.
Tasty. And you're like, what the hell is happening? What the fuck? Where's the bathroom?
Way to go, Berserk.
Which one of you guys is the biggest Evangelion fan here? I have beef with Gainax. And I know Gainax has done a lot of animes.
I like Gainax.
I know you do. This has nothing to do with Gurren Lagann. Gurren Lagann escaped the fate that is Gainax's curse. But Gainax has a knack for not finishing their animes. They didn't finish Gunbuster. The ends in like pencil sketch. They didn't finish His Inner Circumstances. That anime is in crayon at the end. You know? They, yeah, right,
most
right.
Legit ending ever. And, I'm just gonna stop doing
there
this.
Are other examples, but...
It's like Rukia's drawings from Bleach.
There are other examples, but perhaps the worst example is Evangelion, which is by far their most famous anime, in which the end is so bad that they needed, what, 5 movies or whatever to finish it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Where basically Shinji has a mental breakdown or something, and the
what
whole
else is new?
The whole ending is still images and crayon and what the fuckery. Basically.
Did I use that?
Best expression ever.
Yeah. It's buffoonery completely. What could have been an otherwise great anime?
It was destroyed by its
As a closing note to the segment, whereas Most Dangerous Geist had a 20 out of 100 on Anime Academy, Berserk has a 91 based on 4 reviews. So, yeah. And don't let the fact that its ending sucks ruin it for you. Anyway, so...
There we go. Epic fails. Woot.
Just some of them.
Epic
if you have more,
fails.
Talk about them on the forum.
Yes, please. Yes.
Alright, and it looks like we are ready to take an anime news break, so take us away, Mitsugi.
Like it or not, here comes the news. The Day of Sagittarius 3, the game first described in the Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya television anime series, is now available in English for the Apple iPhone and iPod Touch mobile devices. That's right, the official description of the game simply requotes the character Haruhi's first line in the English and Japanese series. First off, I'm not interested in ordinary people, but if any of you were aliens, time travelers, or espers, etc. So, look out for this one on the iPhone. Several overall winners have been announced from the Tokyo International Anime Fair. Mamoru Hosoda and Madhouse's Summer Wars film was named the Animation of the Year for 2009. Under the rules of the award, the winning work must be one that contributes the most value to the world of anime. The film also won the Domestic Feature Film category. Director Hosoda personally won honors as the director and story creator. Other animes winning awards at the anime fair include Eden of the East, which took the honors in the television category. The Time of Eve net anime was recognized in the original video category, and WALL-E won in the International Feature Film category. Studio Ghibli has confirmed that its next major film after this summer's The Borrower and Reti will be a 2011 work helmed by a young director. Studio co-founder Hayao Miyazaki himself told his studio staff in November that they will start on 2 feature-length works with young staffers at their core over the next 3 years. Animator Hiromasa Yonebayashi is making his directorial debut in one of the first of those 2 feature films, Kagurashi no Anretti, which will open on July 17th. In addition, both directors Isao Takahata and Gorō Miyazaki are both developing works that will be released in the future. Miyazaki's next feature film might open sometime in the next 4 years. That's it for now. Stay tuned for more news later.
Hello, this is Baku Asu.
Hey, this is Elvin Blade Rogue.
Hey, everybody, this is Mikhail from the RRFDP podcast, and Ro Fight the Power. We're here to tell you about a podcast we have started. It is where us, your hosts, and most likely Saber, will be here, and we will talk about your news or whatever we deem we wish to talk about, from the everyday to the obscure. So check us out at rrfdppodcast.blogspot.com, and this is how we fight the power.
Fight! The power.
I'll admit though, the girl Jessie, she was pretty damn hot. Everyone wanted to get into her pants back then.
If you say so, buddy.
That anime, it should be buried and it should never come out again. Yeah, I swear to fucking god, this anime is pure sh.
And people were looking at me, and one girl actually came up to me and said, "What's a bankai?" I was very, very tempted to say my penis.
Thanks, Mitsugi.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. We're gonna move on to impressions now, guys.
Are you and I gonna tag team the only two animes this whole season that may be worth watching?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear about yours.
Hey, okay. You could watch Chubra.
Alright. Katana Gatari, which, to my knowledge of Japanese, basically means, like, sword story, is, well, first of all, it came out at the beginning of the month. Oddly enough, it is made up of 12 50-minute episodes. It's pretty long.
Oh, that's cool.
And, oddly enough, the director is Keitaro Motonaga, who did School Days, which is a horrible anime. Basically, the anime opens in a rebellion, okay? There's a burning castle, and there's this guy storming the castle by himself. He's such a skilled fighter. He fights with, like, he's kind of like a monk fighter with his hands and feet, you know? He takes down the castle, to my knowledge, and, the scene ends. It's burning. And, it opens up with these two kids on an island, who you find out are his children, and he's been exiled to the island because he was the leader of a rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And the island is uninhabited. It's just his two kids because he has died. He's deceased.
Sad.
That generally means death.
A girl named Togame comes to the island looking for his son, whose name is Yasui Shichika, in order to help her, like, with some kind of a quest, okay? Back in the past, there was a swordsmith who made 1,000 swords in his career. And, however, the first 988 swords were only practiced for the final 12 swords, which ended up being so powerful that they were evil. And
That's such a Japanese mentality, like, do it 1,000 times for practice.
And the and the 12 swords are scattered throughout Japan in the hands of people who should or should not have them. And the task that Togame places on Yasui is to help her retrieve all 12 of the evil swords. Ironically enough, somebody follows her to the island, and he happens to have one of the swords with him. And he's like this ninja guy, and he wants the info that Togame has, because she knows where half the swords are. So he figures if he just finds her, whatever, he can torture her and get the information out of her.
Mm-hmm.
But Yasui ends up fighting the ninja guy, and he defeats him, and they get the sword. And then the first episode ends with them going off on their adventure. Now, my thoughts on the anime. First of all, it has a very unique art style, and I don't mean like Mononoke or Gonkutsuo. It's not like brightly colored and like that. This has a very simple, pure art style. It's hard to explain. It doesn't have, like, the extreme level of detail that some of the animes have. It's very simple, but somehow they make it work. And, it kind of reminds me of Okami, the video game.
Ooh.
That is a good thing to remind you of.
And, like...
Do you like Okami?
No, it's not quite as beautiful as Okami, but I kind of feel like they were striving for that kind of a simplicity, but that's also, like, kind of wholesome at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The action's really good. The move that Yasui uses to defeat the ninja is really cool. It's like this 12-hit combo, and like he, like, juggles him in the air with it. It's pretty sweet. And, it has the kind of fighting that's really detailed and fleshed out. It doesn't have that crap where you just... where they just charge, and then there's a flash, and then one of them dies. We actually show each and every, you know, all of the martial arts combat going on, and very good animation. I actually have a little bit of faith for this anime. I think that it's going to end up being pretty good.
If you have faith for it, it must be decent.
I normally hate everything. But,
there's medicine for that.
There's always medicine for that.
There's an application for
there's
that.
There's an app for that.
The only thing about the first episode that I think was kind of bad was that For an anime whose plotline is very simple, go retrieve the 12 swords, they had about probably 28 minutes of talking out of 50 minutes of the first episode. And that includes, and that 50 minutes includes the intro and the outro. A lot of dialogue going on where I don't think it was needed. I mean, it was nice to learn a little bit about the characters, but it was a bit slow. However, I think this anime is good. I'm going to recommend it to almost anybody. I don't know. I don't know who I wouldn't recommend it to. I would say that if you don't like the first episode, you might want to stop just because the episodes are long, and you've already made what is the equivalent of 2.5 episode investment in time. You know, other than that, I give this one a thumbs up. Go check it out. I normally don't give good impressions, so.
Hmm. Maybe this is a sign of change.
Oh, I highly doubt that. I just got lucky.
No, I just got lucky. Yeah. Anyway, so Hatake has the other anime that is vying with Katana Gatari for the best anime of the season.
And Kimiko is squealing.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
It's pretty amazing.
It is.
So, yeah, Durarara, for those of you who don't know, is from the makers of Bakano, however you pronounce it, which is also an amazing series. And Durarara is turning out to be just as cool as Bakano, including the music. But, so it's about this kid named Mikado, and he longs for the exciting life of the big city.
Don't we all?
He meets up with his childhood friend Masaomi, and after transferring to a new school, and I'm making this sound boring, but it's really not. There's this character, and basically what they do is they take the Headless Horseman and they make him a her and a kick-ass character.
Who
like,
rides a bike.
This chick rides a motorcycle in, like, a leather bodysuit and, like, a cute little helmet with cat ears.
So it's like a headless biker?
It's a...
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. How does she drive?
Really knows.
Is she dead?
No.
How can you be headless and still be alive?
Great skill and dexterity.
It's like a Duraran or something like that, which is where they got the name. And it's like an Irish folktale about, like, a woman without a head who would hold her head underneath her arm and ride her carriage through Ireland or something like that. So I think she's, like, she's one of those, but she's not really sure.
Ooh, an anime with a bit of culture.
I know.
Yeah.
Leave it to the people who created Bakano, right?
This director likes to put, like, European twists on his animes.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Pretty amazing. But, yeah, there's a lot of characters just, like, locking up.
Who are all badass.
Who are, yeah, all pretty amazing.
Like Isaiah.
I mean, there's
sorry, I
yeah, a little bit of a fangirl here.
Yes.
But, yeah, I can't even, like, go. There's gonna be a lot of, like, different stories, and everyone's tied together through these 12 episodes of awesome and...
short series of bliss.
There's, like, a gang called the Dollars, and basically, yeah, it's great, and it's good. It's getting great ratings, and...
It sounds very much like the Bakano style, the whole, like, different stories all getting
worked together. It's a lot like Bakano, and actually, speaking of Bakano, they, a couple different animes are making a cameo in this. There is, two of the characters are carrying, like, Ahoro, I always pronounce it wrong because they changed her name in the English dub. It's Ahoro. I'm gesturing, but you guys can't see me. Obviously, it's like a
cardboard cutout,
and from Spice and Wolf. And there's little clips of Baccano being played on a big screen in the city. And
they change Horo's name for the English version?
It's Hollow in the English version. Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's not so weird.
No, it's not so weird. It makes sense.
Right, so I have a question.
Sure.
If I was reviewing Baccano, and we already did that.
Yes.
I would tell people that if they don't like violence, they can't watch Baccano because it's too violent. Is Durarara violent in the same way Baccano is?
It's not. Well, there it has its scenes.
Well, the most blood we've seen so far is just that random. Well, actually, it's tasteful, and the whole thing with the bartender in the fight with the dollars.
Yeah, it seems a lot more tasteful.
It's realistic instead of like I'm gonna chop you up into a bunch of pieces and spread gore everywhere. Yeah,
hold your face down into moving railroad tracks.
Yeah, aww. Not it's like. Even when they slam his face against the wall with the wheel of the bike, there's no blood there.
It makes me want to go into Hero Boys.
So violence, no gore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
I mean, the most blood we've seen is like a little bit of splatter on the pavement from like that one thing. And a dude has blood running down his face once, but he just got hit in the back of the head with a bat.
It's like PG-13.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it sounds like
you were trying to kill me. You were aiming for my head.
I love it.
So it sounds like you're recommending this.
I am recommending it. It is a must see for like everyone and anyone.
It's awesome. So watch it or die.
Yeah, pretty much. Watch it or the Headless Rider is going to kill you.
No, Taki will come to your house and make you show you what happens. When
yeah, I will tape your eyelids open.
Oh, clock of watch.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'll be nice. I'll give you popcorn and, like, be your friend and give you a teddy bear and be like, snuggle with me.
Kill you with kindness.
Okay.
It's a great series. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yay, Zaya.
That's pretty much all I have to say about that. Shut up, Zaya fangirl. Alright, guys, so coming up next, you're not gonna believe how much hentai they could cram into this anime without it being a hentai.
We're back for some more news. The Japanese Amazon.com website has announced that it received 88,000 pre-orders for the Evangelion 2.22 You Can Not Advance film on Blu-ray and DVD within the first week of it being available. 40,000 of those pre-orders came on the first day alone, which tops Michael Jackson's This Is It film received on its first day of pre-orders. The second film continued the story of a group of 14-year-old students entrusted with giant biomechanical robots to protect the Earth from mysterious angels. Big news for video game fans out there. The Anime Boston convention has announced that it will host Final Fantasy composer Nobuo Uematsu during the April 2nd to the 4th event at Boston's Hines Convention Center. Uematsu scored most of the Final Fantasy games, in addition to Chrono Trigger, the Blue Dragon game, and anime franchises Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, and Oh My Goddess the Movie. In other news, it appears that Asao Takamori and Tetsuya Chiba's classic boxing manga, Ashita no Joe, will be adapted into a live-action film. The original manga, released from 1968 to 1973, is among the most critically acclaimed stories in Japanese pop culture, and the live television series added to the story's iconic status. Ashita no Joe has been credited with influencing two generations of sports anime and shonen manga, including Hajime no Ippo. That's all the news for this week. Back to the podcast.
Welcome back, anime headaches!
Woo! Woot woot!
You're so enthusiastic.
All the time.
Just ate chocolate.
Ate your chocolate. I did. The peanut butter.
Chocolate rain!
Just so you guys know, rain. This podcast is fueled by Valentine's Day chocolates, peanut butter M&Ms, and Airheads.
Woot! Alright, so I'm actually doing a retro review as requested by Elven Blade Rogue. And it is Sailor Moon. So,
Isn't it sad Sailor Moon's kind of retro now? I'm just saying, like...
Well, this is, like, the first Sailor Moon, right?
Even still, I grew up with the first Sailor Moon.
Never running from a real fight, she is the one named Sailor Moon. Okay, I could sing that whole song, but I won't.
Kind of. And now it's stuck in my head. Thanks. Not to gay.
Never turn her back on a friend.
Do you know she's always there to the end?
So, but yeah. Sailor Moon was, like, my first anime ever, and then I attached myself to DBZ. Or Dragon Ball in general.
By the hips.
By the hips.
Yes. And Vegeta's hips.
No, thank you. No, no thanks.
And I'm done.
And it's flaccid.
Thanks for letting us know, Mitsugi. I'm glad that we could talk about your genitals.
Have you had a talk about Mitsugi's genitals lately?
So, for those of you who have never heard of Sailor Moon, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You do not belong here.
GTFO noobs.
And for those of you who have, which is everyone, it is necessary for anime life. You need to watch Sailor Moon at least once. I mean, especially the beginning, because the beginning, like, makes the rest of the series
happen. How are you, like, a spokesperson? I am. Or something?
But you know what? But I am.
Isn't it, like, a combined 700 episodes? Somewhat of a time.
Well, yeah, just watch a little bit of it. The first season, which is what I'm assuming I'm reviewing, is 46 episodes. And...
Yeah, it's a long season.
It is. And then
but
you go on to Sailor...
Moon can depend.
She is. And then you go on to Sailor Moon R...
Speaking of depends, I just crap myself.
But yeah, no, there are various... Like, just listen, there's Sailor Moon R, Sailor Moon S, Sailor Moon Super S, Sailor Moon Stars.
I don't remember that being part
sequels.
Of the alphabet.
It's part of my alphabet. But the whole thing revolves around, well, I watched it in Japanese, so Usagi, if you watched it in English.
Like normal people
Serena.
Did.
You know what?
Well, you know, Usagi.
Serena, I think.
Yeah.
Serena?
Yeah, it was Serena, because damn. I watched it in English, because...
That's what normal people did.
Well, I was little, and I didn't even know that anime was, like, made in
that year. Okay, I rewatched it in Japanese, like, years later.
That's
good. The episodes that... That's because I'm efficient! No, just kidding. No. The episodes that I watched when I was younger, before DBZ took over my life, which I only ever watched in English, I watched probably in English as well. I just don't remember them.
Actually, you know that Usagi means rabbit in Japanese.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it does. Bun, which suits her. Bun. It really does.
Well, also considering the moon, there's the lore that
a rabbit
lives on the
moon.
Yeah. And pounds mochi.
That is clever. Well done, Chiaki. Well done.
Yeah,
but yes,
I just got back
from
Japan.
Yeah, we can see something completely different.
So, the whole aspect is that Serena, or Usagi, is in, you know, an eighth grader, sort of, to speak, in middle school, and she stumbles upon a talking cat named Luna.
Because everyone needs a talking cat.
Of course. I mean, if Melissa Joan Hart could have one in Sabrina, then
I wish
Serena can have one.
I wish
in
had Artemis.
Kiki has one in Kiki's Delivery Service.
Exactly. And I'm sure there are other talking cats. There are many, many other talking cats.
Sorry, I just had a furry moment.
Ooh. Calm yourself. Anyway.
No. Sorry.
And this talking cat, you know, tells her that she's destined to be a Sailor Moon.
You killed him.
This talking cat, Luna, tells her that she's destined to be a Sailor Moon, champion of love and justice, and must search for the fabled moon princess. And she finds out that her friends... coincidentally and luckily enough, are also, you know, her sailor planets.
I want a series that it's, like, the main character is, like, Sailor Moon equivalent or whatever, and, like, her worst enemies, like, the bitchy girl in the school is, like...
Have to be, like, her team.
Her Sailor Scouts.
It'd be beautiful.
Like, oh, why does it have to be you guys?
Yeah. But turns out, like, one of her professors is another one of them. It's like,
yeah.
What?
It'd well, that just opens room for hentai there.
It really does.
No.
But anyway, you know, the series is, it's an older series, so, you know, if you watch it in English, the dubbing's not the most wonderful dubbing in the world, and you've got, you know, a lot of various subplots and various villains and a bunch of crazy adventures, and I want to say this is the one, it might be either this one or R, where everyone dies. Because it's Sailor Moon, much like DBZ, they come back all the time.
You kind of know when the full series is, like, over 100 episodes long, they're going to come back. I don't really think that's that much of a spoiler.
But just because this is such a classic anime that everybody has seen at least a part of, or has seen a movie of, or has, read the book. If there's a book, is there a book? There must
there's
be a
probably
book.
Probably a manga.
Own some sort of somewhere. Toy, some sort of Barbie doll or something that looks like Usagi. Then
I had one. It was like that big. It was like
really?
It was a couple inches tall. Yeah, I had one.
That's
I had
cute.
A little comb and everything.
That's so cute. I'm glad that they made those merchandise. I would say this is totally worth watching by far, especially because it's the first season, so it's like the epitome of what Sailor Moon is, and then eventually Sailor Moon goes crazy and gets to stars and it's on crack. So I'm gonna give it a 4.5. Sailor Scouts out of 5.
Unless you make Elven Blade Rogue happy.
Indeed.
Alright, yep. So I have another anime, I think also requested by Elven Blade Rogue. So, Elven Blade Rogue, this is apparently your episode. Congratulations. You win by default. So, this anime is Vampire Hunter D. Vampire Hunter D came out in 1985. So, this anime is older. And yes, it looks older. That's like my disclaimer. But the animation, the art style, all the concept art was done by, I've talked about him before, but like one of my favorite artists, anime artists of all time, Yoshitaka Amano. So the character designs are very Amano. They have his distinct style. If you don't know what I'm talking about by now, just go look it up. I've talked about him before, but he's amazing. So it's a futuristic anime. It takes place in like the year 1290 AD, and it's kind of like we're so far in the future that we've digressed to the past, but we still have technology. So it's kind of like this combination of like almost like medieval Europe with like sci-fi.
Interesting.
But it's not as kitschy as what it sounds like it would be.
There's a term for that.
Is there?
Yeah, I'm not going to remember what it is, but it's like when you're in the future, but it looks like it's in the past, but there are bits of technology.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it is, and it kind of, again, like, the whole vampire thing kind of adds to that, like, almost European-esque, medieval-type feel. So, it follows the story of, it's kind of post-apocalyptic in a way. It's supernatural there. And it follows the story of three characters, Doris Lang, Count Magnus Lee, and of course D, or Vampire Hunter D. And Count Magnus Lee drinks some of Doris Lang's blood and decide that she's tasty enough that she's worth becoming one of his new wives. And so Doris is like, well, that sounds like a bad idea. So she hires Vampire Hunter D, and Vampire Hunter D is a half-breed of human and vampire. I know, nothing too original here, but on the flip side, it's old enough that in a way it is kind of original because it's one of the originals. There's pretty good fight scenes. It's just a movie. It's an 80-minute OVA. There's pretty good fight scenes in the movie. It's definitely a mature movie. There's a little bit of nudity. The violence can get a bit extreme. It's not too gratuitous. It's just pretty vivid.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean it's a 80-minute OVA. There's not too much else to the story other than D and, you know, Doris, and I thought D was pretty cute when I watched it. And if you like it, there's another movie that came out significantly more recently. I want to say in the past like 5 or 6 years, Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. But I'm gonna give it a four half-human, half-vampires out of 5. Because I think that now it's kind of cliche, and now the animation's kind of poor. But for when it came out, it was a very mature anime in a time where there really wasn't that many mature animes, and as well as it was original for its time. So I think it's definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen it.
Alright, so we've really had given a lot of good reviews tonight, but now we're going to ruin our streak by giving some shitty reviews.
It happens. There's
There's gotta, you know, you gotta have some bad to appreciate.
Makes the good look really good.
You gotta have some Kobato to appreciate the good anime.
Yeah, well, we have to warn the listeners, you know, about what will haunt their dreams for weeks.
Oh. I don't know about that. I'm experiencing some therapy right now.
Chiquitos. Nakotitos.
Okay, so, Kobato is a 24-episode series.
I couldn't watch 4 minutes of Kobato.
Yeah.
So I'm very impressed with your resolve.
I don't know how. I think I was just too half asleep to realize what was going on. Not that being awake would have made it any better. What do I say about this? It's just like...
What's it about, anyway?
I'm like, I don't even know. It's...
Something about tears?
Yeah, like she... This chick Kobato, she's like not from the earth, and she has to find a bottle and fill it with scarred hearts.
Aww.
And her teacher is a stuffed animal. Yeah.
Those bastards.
Personally, I would not recommend this at all, obviously. Unless you're into demonic dogs who demonic stuffed animal dogs. Girls in old lady clothing. There is a really, like, attractive male in this, but he's kind of an asshole.
Not attractive enough to make up for it.
And she's all like, I can't fall in love with him, blah, 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 blah.
So...
I bet she does.
The rule is that she can't fall in love with any person whom she cures the heart of. And she's trying to cure his heart, and I'm pretty sure that's, like, the whole point of the series. So she can't fall in love with... They're gonna fall in love. It's obvious. Oh, it's cliche.
So it sounds like you're abandoning ship. Like the Titanic.
Don't know. I can't.
You don't have to do it.
It's okay.
No one can make you.
This isn't Clockwork Orange. You're okay. You're okay.
Crown this anime.
I'm sorry, I'm rocking back and forth in a corner right now.
Fetal position, growing mushrooms.
Do I have to give it a rating?
Yeah, you give it a hentai.
Yeah, hentai rating. It might as well be a hentai. I'm not really sorry if I offended anyone by that. So, yeah.
If you disagree with me...
Would it have made a good hentai?
No. That it's sucks. Too childish. Unless you're into, like, plushophilia and bestiality.
Is plushophilia a thing?
Yeah, people actually do have sex with plushies.
Oh my gosh. I don't want to.
Oh my god, is it my turn yet?
Yes, it's your turn, please. Right,
so, Kobato gets a hentai. And I'm gonna do Queen's Blade.
Good transition.
So I'm going to do Queen's Blade Gyokuza no Tsugumono. Alright, this is a real simple anime. It's more like a hentai than an anime sometimes, at times. But the plot line is that there is a contest in which women fight in single round elimination matches to become the new queen. The winner of the contest gets to challenge the old queen to become the new queen. And so, that's it. They just fight, and then when it gets down to one person, they fight the queen. I finished this anime. It was 12 episodes long. Every single episode has full frontal nudity in it, and there are a couple episodes that have some tentacle action going on.
Oh, God.
But it's not a hentai. Man. It's just very, it's very, 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 very edgy.
Don't let him lie to you, it is.
It's kind of like Ikitosen in that, you know, somebody will get, like, punched, and unlike all their... clothes will explode.
That's like, dude, the guy got good punched moment. Out of his clothes.
It was wonderful.
I mean, like, just around the boozmas.
The boozmas. The bazongas.
But,
oh, dear.
The only interesting thing about this anime, because there's nothing about it that was good, including the animation. The fighting was probably average for an anime that's all about fighting. The best thing about it was not knowing who was going to win the contest...
Or knowing who's gonna get their clothes ripped off next?
Yeah, I mean, you could have, like, a favorite character and root for them to win the contest. And I think I ended up changing characters, like, 6 times, because every time I pick one, they would lose. And the girl that I thought I didn't really like ended up winning. I won't spoil it and tell you who she was. But, that's pretty much the only possible good thing about this whole anime. It's definitely guilty pleasure. And it has almost no redeemable qualities at all. So, in the sake of time, because there's not much else to say, I'm going to give it a... It might as well be a hentai out of five, because, let's face it, it was about one little step over the line from being hentai. And it could have been, like, a great hentai, like, if they... Like, the girl loses the fight, and then rather than just, like, walking away with her life, she gets sent down to, like, a sex pit where, like, demons have sex with her.
That's actually the sequel?
What?
Well, this is actually the sequel to another Queen's Blade.
Oh, God.
So believe it or not, there's two of them.
Is it Trequel?
I don't know.
So, I don't know what the deal with this was, but, not good. Not good.
Suck it.
And it looked kind of old for an anime that was brand new. Just because... Well, anyway, forget it.
Well, anyway.
And done. Exactly. And boom goes the dynamite.
So the next episode is the season finale, kind of.
Yeah. I want you in my room. If you have something you want to hear us talk about, be sure to ask us to talk about it on the forums, be it anything from why we started this podcast, to more epic fails, to what's our favorite flavor of ice cream. No topic is sacred.
So that's the end of the episode, I think.
Yeah, pretty
another
sure
fun
is.
One.
That
indeed.
Was a fun one.
I always have fun with you guys.
Aww.
Aww.
Likewise, me too.
And congratulations, Hat and Clogs, again.
Indeed.
I love that name.
It's a very, very cute plushie.
It sounds very Dutch.
Yeah.
Sounds Dutch.
A little bit. I think it's the clogs.
Yeah.
Oh, can I just say one thing before we round out?
No.
Yes. Is it about the website?
No.
Alright.
But yes, the new website will be up soon, and it's coming along nicely, let's just say. But what I wanted to say is, I know we have a broad range of listenership, but we are all from the U.S., and I want to say go U.S. Olympic team. Bring home the gold, guys.
Woot!
I mean, go all athletes, don't get me wrong, but, like, some national pride up in the house. So
it's all about good sportsmanship, my friends.
It's been a lot of fun, you guys. You want to call it a night?
Yeah.
I guess we
indeed.
Should.
Before our neighbors time. Come up and kill us.
Yeah, the Manson family.
They really will.
Oh, God. They're so scary.
They really are.
I don't like them. But it was cool hanging with you guys tonight, and we're going to bring you out with the closing song from Katana Gatari, which is Tasogare no Getsuga by Yosei Taikoku.
Bye, everybody.
Bye,
bye.
Until next time.
Season finality is next.
See you then.
Done.
Have a great night.